Vineyard Mid-Atlantic Regional Conference. Just to kind of bring up to speed on some of the stuff, we, in the Vineyard USA, we've been divided up into 8 regions with regional leaders. And then several years ago, 5 maybe now, because the distances were so wide for regional leaders to get to all their churches, they multiplied. We went from 8 to 16 regions. And that process, before, we were the East region, and the East region was Maine to Virginia. So that's, and then the Southeast region was from North Carolina to Florida. So anyway, it was just got really crazy. So we created the Mid-Atlantic region, which is now Maryland to South Carolina. And so we've lost the contact with the northern guys, and now we're getting to know some of the guys from further south. And so this is our 3rd regional meeting. The last 2, in 14 and 16, were in Virginia Beach at Andy Insurance Church. And this year they decided to do something a little different and make it kind of a retreat at the beach and down in the south, so that some of our southern people didn't have quite such a far distance to drive, since they came all the way up here last first 2 times. So that's what we were doing, and it was really exciting. So I just want to kind of bring some, just a few of the highlights from the week. We were over 500 people that were gathered and at the DoubleTree Hilton Resort right there on the beach, and pretty neat complex. The most confusing floor and elevator situation we've ever seen, and we never did quite figure it out. We always ended up in the wrong place, but you know, eventually we found where we were supposed to go. And the other thing they introduced this time, which is going to be, we're going to have regional meetings every 2 years, and they did regional battle games. So there was a sandcastle building contest on the beach, and sack races, and then the final morning, since everybody was too exhausted to go back out to the beach Thursday afternoon, they switched it up, and they had a game where all of us had to take off our left shoe and throw them in bins. And then once we had them all, this is how serious we are, of course. And so anyway, they once they collected the bins from each section of the audience, then they dumped them out on the floor in the back, and we were all to grab one shoe and hold it up until we found the match, the person who went with that shoe, and share something unique about the 2 of us. And so anyway, that was total bedlam and wonderful, and didn't last as long as I thought it was going to be, although they did joke later that some people were still looking for their shoe. But anyway, it was just a fun thing. So in 2 years, we're going to do it again. We're going to be in Hagerstown, Maryland in 2020.
We have 2 different shoes.
Orange
shoes. Easy to find.
Oh, yeah. If they do that again, that's for sure. So we'll be hosted by the Hub City Maryland Vineyard, which is known as the Hippie Church, and their signature outfit are tie-dye t-shirts. The Schlotterbecks are pretty wild people, but anyway, really cool. So just what I want to look at this morning is here, I'm just saying, our family, Vineyard Mid-Atlantic, and so that's where often now we hear VMAR, Vineyard Mid-Atlantic Region. So if you hear that, that's what that's about. So I'm just sitting here, every Sunday from Maryland to South Carolina, there are vineyard gatherings in 36 places. Newport News, Richmond, Fredericksburg, Charlottesville, Woodbridge, Falls Church, Ashland, Virginia Beach, Smithfield, Hagerstown, Millersville, Camden, Raleigh, Holly Springs, Chapel Hill, Cary, Greensboro, Huntersville, Asheville, Wilmington, Carolina Beach, Shalott, Lexington, Beaufort, Columbia, Rock Hill, Myrtle Beach, Greenville, Spartanburg, including several houses like ours, I mean Jeff's, a YMCA, several schools, a converted racquetball club, a theater, a strip mall, and a barn. Their family. Mm. So I think it's just important for us to recognize that we're part of a bigger group. And so these 36 churches are a little easier to think about than all 650 of us across the United States, much less the 2,400 plus around the world. So keeping it together that way. So I want to highlight a little bit, just meeting some of our vineyard leaders. And so our evening sessions, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, were by leaders And this is Phil Strout and his wife Jan up here on the screen. We talk about them often. They're from Lewiston, Maine. And I remember when they were voted in as national directors, and I think I've mentioned this before, they were in a hotel room in Houston, and they'd gone to bed, and the phone rang to let them know, and they both just laid there in bed and laughed and said, "Can you believe two kids from a mill town in Maine have been voted in as national directors of this big movement?" They're amazing people, really, really humble. So Phil Strout, in the notes here, Phil Strout and his wife Jan are in Lewiston, Maine. And they didn't have to move to Houston. And he said, if you live in Maine, why would you move to Houston? That's Phil. But they're the national directors. His message to us was the Acts 16 story. That's Paul's second missionary journey, and the one where he tried several different places to go and was held up by the Holy Spirit. And then he got this vision about the guy over in Macedonia saying, please come over and help us. And so I just put briefly down here, his 3 points, Paul's vision to expand the kingdom, to build churches, to announce the gospel, and at the same time listening to what the Holy Spirit was saying, and finally got the green light to go over to Macedonia. The second point, you know, which I think is really interesting, talks about Paul's valley. Because when they got there, not everything went according to what you would think would be God's plan, because that's when they end up in prison, and you know they're singing at midnight. That experience that we've read about in Acts 16. But even following Holy Spirit direction, they experience this trouble, this valley, this what we would normally look at and go, God can't be in this. What on earth is going on? This can't be God's plan. Look how horrible this is. We've been beaten. We've been thrown in the deepest part of the inner prison, and they've actually been put in stocks. And so, what you know, maybe all of us here, of course, would do the same thing if we were in that situation. We'd be singing praise at midnight, right? Sure. That would be what we would choose to do. But he just talks about, you know, as part of our plan, as we follow the Holy Spirit, just as Jesus warned us, you know, if the world hates you, just keep in mind that they hated me first. So we have a valley experience. And then what it comes out to, because he wanted to keep with the V's, he talks about Paul's verity or the truth. And the verity is God is truth. God is the one who's called us. God is faithful. God is the one who will see us through whatever vision he's given us, or whatever valley we have to go through to get there. And, you know, it reminded me of my experience with this musical group in 1988 when I went on tour. And before we left, we were traveling in a bus, sleeping in a different place every night, setting up for a concert, tearing down and putting it back in the bus, and doing 100 concerts during the summer. And our director just warned us. He said, sometimes you will be reduced to your call. And I thought, boy, that sounded so ominous. But what he said is, you'll be exhausted, frustrated, you'll hate everybody else on the team, you're sick to death of the bus, you don't want to sleep in another strange bed, and you don't want to have to run cables and set up sound equipment ever again. He was right. There were times for all of us throughout the summer where we just, you know, we just wanted our mommies and we just wanted to go home and we never wanted to see a traveling bus ever again, especially as we're going through some of the hottest parts of the United States with an old bus whose air conditioning barely kept up. So makes it really exciting. But so Phil's reminding us this as a region and just saying, this is God has called us and he's given us, you know, he's given us a vision, but it will come with a valley, and that's what we've been told, that's what we've been talked about before. But there's also God's truth, which says he is faithful and he will see us through to the end. Yes. And so that was Phil's major message to us as a group on Tuesday evening. And then on Wednesday evening, we switch over to Andy and Sharon. And here they are, if they're with their puppies. And so we've talked about them many times. So there's Andy and Sharon. And we went to Regent University with Andy and Sharon before they were Andy and Sharon. And so we've known these guys for over 30 years now. Since it's been 30 years since we graduated from Regent. Pretty scary. I don't know how people as young as we are could be this far from the masters, but it's the way it is. And so he's the Mid-Atlantic regional leader. And his message, which was really exciting, because he just says, what makes us, the Vineyard Movement, a tribe? We often refer to ourselves as a tribe. And so he talks about these four things that he identifies that bring us together. So the shared past. Just we've all come from the same place, this not knowing Jesus, coming to Jesus, and then discovering that there's this church that feels like home. These people that feel like we can relate to. These people who sense God directing them in a similar way. And so we've got these pasts that we can share together. How do we get into the Vineyard? It's so often, you know, I don't know how many times now I've heard someone say, the first time I visited a Vineyard church, my reaction was, I'm home. This is me. These are my people. And Claude and Betty Rank from France, Didier's mom and dad, they went to a John Wimber conference in Paris many years ago. And they sat in the conference in this big auditorium with, I don't know how many people were there, well over 1,000. And they watched this event unfold, the worship and just the style and everything. And they just basically wept through the whole weekend. And they're just like, I didn't know this was possible. I didn't know we could worship Jesus and be real and non-pretentious and just who we really are and knowing that Jesus loves us this way. And so that's part of our past. Most of us have a similar type testimony, how we got from where we were to where we are today. And then we have a shared journey. This idea of, we talk about the kingdom a lot. We have a kingdom theology. And as Joan's already mentioned, the now and the not yet. There's this aspect of the kingdom is broken in and we see powerful works of the Holy Spirit and we see people transformed by his gifts. But then we see people who, you know, like pastors who have messed up backs or people who need surgery or people who need conversion bands at the age of 28. And we, like, why? And so we just recognize that there is this journey that we're on where the kingdom is here and it's palpable and you can touch it and it's in us, but it's not fully developed, it's not fully revealed yet, and we're waiting for the day when we fully see that. And, you know, or a return of the days when John Wimber would say, you know, when we first started in the Vineyard, you could just sneeze people into the kingdom. People were so ripe, and there was such a powerful move of the Holy Spirit. They just blasted them in. Then Andy talked about shared struggles. And, you know, he told us, you know, and we all laughed, of course, but it wasn't really all that funny at the time. Just their struggles of how they were going to get to, how they planted their church and moved through the various stages and where they were in a school, and then they moved to a cinema cafe. And I remember we were coming back from a leadership retreat one Sunday morning, Horace and I, and my car started messing up. And I don't remember the details, but we ended up at the cinema cafe where the church was being held. And, you know, Andy was telling us stories of every Sunday they'd have to come in and there'd be food stuck to the floor, pizzas and stuff, people eating in the dark, so stuff was everywhere. And the theater crew didn't clean it up, so it was really a mess. And then all the stuff they did when they moved to the racquetball club in Virginia Beach, where they are now, and what a disaster that was, and all the struggles they'd gone through trying to make this place usable as a church, and what it is today, you'd never know what it was when they first moved in. But just those shared struggles, and several people afterwards said, we'll never complain again with what we had to do after Andy shared some of their wild stories. But you know, there are struggles along the way, you know, just for us being, you know, years ago being flooded out of our facility that we were on Industrial Park Drive and moving to the building, and everyone loved our building on 17, of course, until they didn't. And then, you know, we finally moved out of there, and now we're home. So
yes.
we're never leaving Jeff, so I'm sorry. we're just taking over. We'll have to knock a few walls down eventually. But so the shared struggles along this journey as God is faithful. And then Andy ended with our shared vision. God is still the one who calls us. He is still the one who is faithful. He renews, and, you know, the scripture that says, you know, his mercies are renewed every morning. Great is his faithfulness. And so we recognize that when we get reduced to our calling, we recognize the calling is still there, and God is still in front of us, calling us forward, asking us to follow him. And so he ended on that really high note, even though we've had to go through the struggles to get there. And then our final speaker on Thursday night, John Elmer, who was in our region when he was east. He's in Syracuse, New York, and he is the east region now from Maine down to Delaware. And because they're good friends, he came to speak to us from outside the region, and he ticked a lot of people off because he was somewhat sports-minded from New York and dissing a few of the southern teams, and there were some boos and no Rotten Tomatoes, but you know he was borderline on that one. So John leads up there. He's a great guy, a great comedian. His message was, "We are better together," and his subtitle was, "Isolators are dumb."
Yeah.
And he used the story out of Mark 2 where the friends gathered their paralytic friend. They wanted to take him to Jesus, but they couldn't get in because the crowd was so huge. And it's the most hilarious rendition I have ever heard of what it took to dig a hole in the roof of that building and the mess that must have been raining down on everybody inside the house as they were digging this hole, because they said, it's not, you know, you could walk on the roof. It's a thick roof. There's a lot of dirt and mud and straw and all the rest of it up there holding this roof together. And so as they were digging their way through, you know, everybody downstairs was going, what is going on? So that's the story he used. And so he says, because we're better together, you know, his first point was work as a team.
Yeah.
Say, you know, just recognize we can't do this alone. So individuals, you know, if we're individuals or isolators, we're really easy picking for the enemy. So we gather together as church families and we work together, but in our region as well, we want to work together. We recognize we're not all by ourselves. We're not the only ones trying to do this. There are many other Vineyard churches, much less many other phenomenal churches that are doing the exact same thing.
Yeah.
And we celebrate that still in York County with the pastors there. And I've still tried to get them to become Vineyard, but so far with no success. But working as a team is really important. So much can work better if we do it as a team. And so he used that as an example. And then his second point was push through obstacles. Like these friends bringing they're trying to get their paralytic friend to Jesus so he could be healed. They had many obstacles. Just carrying him was one. How they got him up on the roof, the scripture doesn't tell us, but that couldn't have been an easy job either. If someone's paralyzed and really can't move, they're like dead weight. So dragging this person up to the roof must have really been not fun. And then getting the hole in the roof and persevering through people who are coming out of the house, probably yelling at them to stop what they're doing, to destroying the house. So they were working really hard to push through these obstacles to get the job done. And then the third thing he was talking about is just, in the midst of all this, have bold faith. Just dare. You know, often this week we heard, last week, you know, John Wimber's definition of faith is spelled R-I-S-K. And we just need to believe that God is calling us to do something, even if it seems impossible, and trust him for these things that we can't imagine on our own, because some things are really, really hard. And so having bold faith as we work together and recognize the value of being there. So just having in this quick overview of these three messages, I'm just wondering, if, because I see a pattern here. These guys hadn't really consulted on their messages, but I see a lot of things really working together. I'm just wondering, in the short overview, do you see something as a pattern emerging from these three messages? What do you see happening here?
Well, the middle is the valley, the struggles, and the obstacles.
That's the first thing I saw as well. And that's right. Each of them had that thing that happened. You know, where you just want to give up, you want to quit, you want to yell at somebody, or you might want to hurt somebody, you know, when everything seems to be going wrong. But, and I love the way Joan said this, the middle.
Right.
It's not the end. It's not the way it begins. It's in the middle. It's a growing space in the middle where our faith is tested. We get reduced to our call. Things seem to be really bad. It can't go any worse. Last fall, you know, as a leadership team, as we were looking at the specter of having to move out of the building, that was probably, the specter was probably mostly on my part, but the rest of the team was probably more excited to get rid of the building. But, you know, just the idea of having to do all of this and to move out of a building that we had been accumulating stuff in for 17 years, which pales in comparison to Brian and Joan's 39 years, of course. But, you know, we still had a lot of stuff, and I just couldn't imagine how we were ever going to manage. And, you know, talk about being better together. Our moving parties were absolutely astonishing. And when I think back of that first Saturday in December, what you all accomplished, I just, I cannot believe we're here. At the end of this first Saturday, the whole upstairs was completely emptied. And the back room, which some of you may have never have visited, and you didn't miss anything, but that disastrous mess back there was completely cleaned out and vacuumed. Thanks to Amelia and Janice, and I don't know who else. So we worked together as a team through the struggle of moving out of the building. Moving here has been effortless and wonderful, and so that's why we're staying forever. So what else? Anything else you see as a pattern in this?
Well, in the end, God is faithful.
Yeah. The end of the story is we come back to where we started, a faithful God who calls us, walks us through, and shows himself faithful at the end. Just amazing, amazing things. Anything else strike you as we go through here? Look at these three messages.
Well, from each one, I see the first point for Phil, the first point for Andy, and the first point. Go down each one, like you put them in a little column and rows. Paul's vision, the shared past, work as a team. I think those all go together as well as, you know, the steps to go down and the steps going across. It's cohesive.
Mm-hmm.
In Paul's valley, it's a shared journey. We push through those obstacles. You know, we're all the same.
And I see that. As you go through the valley and God, you know, leads through the valley and leads out of that particular valley, you get to know his, you mentioned already faithfulness, but it's that faithfulness that becomes the next foundation for the next step. And maybe I'm articulating about something, but I kind of see it's like that becomes a solid launch pad, and which is always solid, but in our minds and in our hearts, we've seen him be real faithful, and it's bigger. So now we can step on to what else God is calling us, and to the people to whom he is calling us,
right?
Which is our next door neighbor with the message of the good news of Jesus Christ,
mm-hmm.
right? And the forgiveness of sins, and you know, so.
Yeah, Anything else here?
Hope.
You know,
yeah.
Hope. Yeah.
Hope.
Just to hope.
Yeah.
There's always hope, even when we can't see it.
Right.
You know, one thing I see in this, though, also just an amplification of the valley. You know, some people's valley is shorter than others, not as deep, easier to get through. Some people live their whole lives in the valley, struggling constantly for who they are and how they identify with God. And then when they come out of it, it's the same result. You know, just like the master of the vineyard, when he hired his workers during the day, they all got the same wage.
Yeah.
You know, the reward was the same because God's faithful.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, you know, faith is a relationship. And as we go through these valleys and we see that God is faithful, it does build up our faith. It does build up our faith. But they still keep coming. You know, I don't know how many I've been through. But so this last one with the sale of the house and all the inspections, and I couldn't see how God could possibly solve this problem. You know, at the same time, I knew that we were to do this and that God would make it happen. But at the same time, I laid awake a lot trying to figure out how he was going to do it. And of course, what he did in the end was just failed all these things, but the buyers just didn't care.
Yeah.
Didn't occur to me that that was a possibility, you know.
God loves doing that to us.
Yes. You know, but at the same time, I knew we were to do this and somehow it was going to work, you know. That amazed me that I had that much faith in the middle of it. Because if I'd gone way back when, I would have just thrown up my hands and run out into the woods screaming or something.
Yeah, faith is a huge influence because, you know, I can relate it to working welders and having a team of welders and going in and doing it, getting into an impossible job. And the guys get frustrated, and you just exude faith in them. You let them know, I've got faith that you're going to be able to do this. I know that you can do this.
Yeah.
And give them encouraging words.
Right.
And in the end, when the job comes out fine, the kudos flow, and the guys upstairs are saying, you know, how did you do that in such a small amount of time? You're sitting, and then you give praise. You say, it wasn't me, it was them. And you tell the team, well, it's faith. Yeah. And their reward is, wow, we did a good job. They said something good about me. And the faith was the weapon. Faith was the thing that made everybody strong. And that's what makes us strong.
Amen.
as an organization, not as a secular collection of people saying they're Christians, but as an organization of God himself in Christ's church that makes us strong. Our faith makes us who we are, regardless of whether we call ourselves Baptist, Methodist, Vineyardites or whatever.
And even that is a gift.
Even that.
Our faith.
Yeah. It's even when you're saying that, you know, I'm thinking of Andy and Sharon, who from Virginia Beach, our leaders, who organized this conference down in Myrtle Beach. And, you know, in a way, that would have been a valley because there are a lot of moving parts to this thing.
Mm-hmm.
In order to secure this place down there on the beach for this past week, last year they had to sign on the line, they guaranteed $100,000. That's before any registration forms went out. So they were just praying, hoping, you know, that people would sign up and that the money would come in for the registrations and for people staying at the hotel and everything. And so we all, everyone that went this year for this event had to stay at the resort. I mean, so you couldn't stay in other places around. If you're in order to come, you had to stay there. And they made it. But, you know, I'm sure with all the pieces and the people and the speakers organizing the rooms and who's going to look after the children and how are they going to do various things, there's a lot of, you know, I'm sure there might have been a few nights where they would lie awake going, I hope this comes together. I hope these people show up. I hope this happens. I hope nothing, you know, on and on and on. And then, you know, the week went beautifully. I mean, we were aware of absolutely no hiccups anywhere in this thing. The weather was gorgeous. Everything went well. But I think we could look at that as a real faith stretching valley, not a negative thing necessarily, any more than your move down here was negative. But a real faith stretcher that, as I think Sue is mentioning, it becomes a building block. You know, we make it through and we look back and you go, wow, I'm actually kind of surprised I survived this and my faith is still stronger.
Right.
And, you know, and then so God leads us through. And I think the other thing on this is each time the valley comes, we need to recognize that we should be able to look back and
yes.
say, God was faithful, so he will be faithful again. You know, we heard Kathy Chester's testimony in Carolina Beach, North Carolina, and she and her husband went from Columbus, Ohio, to the beach in North Carolina to plant a church, just the two of them.
Mm.
And, you know, they were Harley people and all that, and they went down to the beach, and they got started, and they come back from a trip, and her husband wasn't feeling well, and they went to the hospital, and it was his gallbladder. And so they removed his gallbladder, and the next morning the hospital called, and he had died because he had hemorrhaged. And so here's Kathy, 56 years old, 58 years old, and moved down from Columbus, Ohio, sold their home, did everything, and now she always was the shy one hiding behind her boisterous, aggressive husband, and he was removed from the picture. And she's still there, and she's still planting.
But he passed after being there for 4 months, did you mention that?
Yeah, they'd only been there 4 months, that's right. And so Kathy has persevered through, she gave her testimony, and, you know, and so the rest of her family's still up in Ohio, and then they've just gone through a big split in the church where a couple of the elders decided they didn't like the way things are going and they took half the members and took off. And so they're healing from that. And she's had her valleys. And she goes, some valleys creep up on you little by little and others hit you with no warning and you find yourself like Joseph in the pit, you know, as she did when her husband passed away so suddenly. So we have shared journeys and shared struggles, and we have a shared vision that we work on. And all the stories of our own stories and these other stories that we hear, I think need to serve to really strengthen us and go, you know what? People have struggles. It really gets hard sometimes. And sometimes you wonder whether you're going to survive it. And, you know, and I know most of us in this room have hair-raising stories of things that you've been through. And I think from these things and this pulling us together as a Vineyard Mid-Atlantic and saying, yeah, we're in this together. We're, you know, we have this. We've been called to this. We've been called to the same faithful Father who is so good to me. You know, you're so good to me. We sang it this morning. And so this vision, this calling he's given us to come to him and see his provision, in spite of the valleys, yes, they're there. I'm glad that Scripture doesn't try to gloss over that and pretend it's just a walk in the park. You know, that Jesus really mentioned that it was going to be difficult, but that he would be faithful. You know, just as he told Peter, after you've been tested and after you return, strengthen your brothers.
Yes.
I think every valley experience needs to be for us to strengthen our brothers.
Yes.
So that's just an overview of some of the wonderful things, not to mention all the worship and all the amazing things that we did. And had speakers, we had four speakers one morning and four speakers the next morning. Each of them had 9 minutes before they got yanked off the platform, just like
a
TED Talk. and so those were really amazing because they gave it their best in 9 minutes and something or some point they were passionate on. It was really amazing.
And you know what that did? And it was like, oh my goodness, this is spectacular. The goal of the conference was to connect each other, right? So all of a sudden, because we heard so-and-so up there from Rock Hill, we have a connection with him now. We understand his passion. We understand their body. It was just really wonderful. That was one of the most delightful aspects of, I mean, nobody wants to, you know, be limited to 9 minutes. But boy, it was amazing because they were speaking. God, this is our call. This is my call from God, and this is what motivates me. This is what moves me. I love that. They were called the Nines because they had 9 minutes, right?
Yeah, and so on both of the screens, there was a clock counting down, and there was a monitor in front of them counting down, and we were all instructed, as soon as it went to zero, we were all to stand and applaud to get them off the platform. So anyway,
they all did,
yeah, sure. They did a great job. But it was wonderful to hear from all eight of them, plus our evening speakers as well. So it's a great region. We have some great people, great worship leaders. Our worship teams for every session, morning and evening, were a mishmash of worship people from various churches, like eight different churches. And, you know, it was amazing. They said, you know, it's amazing. You start working together and you've never met each other before till you get to the conference. But I can guarantee you it did not sound like they'd never worked together before. It seemed seamless from where we were sitting. It was really awesome. So put on your calendars for 2 years, July 2020, Hagerstown, Maryland, and we're going to do it again. And they're going to do the battle games again, and so they'll probably put them within reach. We could probably do sandcastles or something like that as well. So that's our team. That's our tribe, some of our tribe, and it would be great for you guys to get to know them because it's great stories are told. So just want to remind us also then of our spirit-energized activists opportunities that we've got here, the three sign-up sheets we have for the poor with an emphasis on homeless or disadvantaged veterans, the second one, promoting reconciliation and healing and race relations, and then adopting Anna's fourth grade class. Those are three things. I really would, you know, my heart is that we would all be involved in some way with one of those three. If you want more than one, that's up to you, all three if you want. But I would like all of us to be in some way engaged in one of these emphases. And if, you know, all you want to do is just write your $1,000 checks to that, whatever, that's fine too. But, you know, prayer support, just all that. I'd like us to be able to divide up into like little mini task forces and figure out how we're going to do our part in this thing. And we need to get that kind of rolling here soon. So I think they're on the table?
Yeah.
In the dining room. All right, great. So if you haven't signed up yet, take a look, see what God would ask you to do, and then we'll start getting moving on that by, hopefully by next month, we'll start seeing how our task forces can pull together and get some energy, get some prayer support behind it, and then we'll start working on that. So,
any more information on specifics as what each one is going to entail?
Nope, that's what the task force is going to decide as they get together. So these are kind of morphing and developing as we speak. Leanne?
I think that you have to have just a little idea, even if that's not what you ultimately do, so people have more of a direction just in the three items. Because everybody's interested in all three things. It's just what would that entail, even if it's just a slight idea of, you know, like what you wanted to do for the poor or for the class, or just so that you'd have a direction, so you know what you felt you were able to sign up for.
Okay, we'll try to give a little bit more language to it.
Right.
So
you know, not anything real specific or
right.
written in stone.
Because I'm hoping that each little group, little mini task force will kind of
from there.
Yeah,
like,
that's what we want
need
to do.
Some
right
direction.
Like what does God lead us to? What are our resources? What's in our hand? You know, that kind of stuff. And that's going to get largely defined, I think, as each little group starts meeting. But we'll try to flesh it out a little bit.
For an example, I think we can all think of what you can do for the poor or even a class, but what would you give as an idea of what you would be doing for reconciliation and healing of race relations? What would you...
Joining with groups who are already doing this, and that's part of what, as we do some research to see who's doing this kind of thing. You know, I found yesterday, and this is not something we can probably all do, but the Vineyard is hosting in Chicago in August a 3-day workshop, and it is specifically towards diversity and how do we bridge the gaps. And they're going to do some amazing workshops with some incredible speakers. And so it's a conversation that's going on within the Vineyard. It's a conversation that's going on with our Yorktown ministers. And so there are multiple groups who are doing various things. And so as we kind of investigate who's doing it, as we start searching around, we'll find, there's a group doing this. Oh, there's an initiative over here that's already gotten started. Maybe we can just join in with what they're doing. But all of that, it's going to really be as each group starts investigating and looking. And there's something to say that you can't, once it gets developed, the group decides, we're going to try to do this. And if you think, that's really not where my interest is, we'll let you skip over to another group.
I don't understand. Maybe that's my biggest problem. I don't know what you do. I don't understand. I mean, how do you as a group do something for race relations? It's like your everyday living with people of diversity. You just go out and are with them and interact and love everybody. So I don't know what you would do specifically.
Right.
The NRA does it.
I think that's part of our strength. We'll find out what's already been happening and what do people already do to promote that.
But I mean, I don't even have any idea. Do you know of anything anybody's doing that you would say, well, such and such is doing? I mean, I don't. My mind is blank in that area.
Right. Yeah. And there are pastors groups. We're meeting again with the York County ministers with that specific agenda in July.
Well, what has been done already? I don't understand what I'm asking.
Yeah. Well, there are a lot of things that a lot of different initiatives.
Right. Like just anything. So I don't have a record. It's like a black wall to me.
Okay. Well, we'll try to flesh it out a little bit and give a little bit better language.
Yeah, this is like, we just have to focus it down and make it very hands-on doable. So I would love to have that conversation with you and probably with everybody. We're all looking for specifics so that we know it's doable.
Right.
And I don't, are we talking the right language here?
Yes, I just don't know what it means.
Okay, right.
That's all I'm trying to say. It's like
I know. Yeah, and I'm not sure, Leanne, that I know what it means yet. So.
Yeah, these three emphases came from our time of discussion here back in June, and so we were looking for what can we do as spirit energized activists, and those are the three emphases that came up and seemed to be the most important on everybody's list. So. It isn't defined yet, and we want to see what we could possibly do as we meet. And so it isn't defined, and it isn't a thing that we've finished up. We just say, what can we do? And I think as we pray and meet and discuss, ideas will start popping up.
Right.
And then we'll go, we could try that. And we're not going to end racism. We're not going to end poverty or anything like that. But I think we can be involved in a more active way. So let's pray as we finish up here this morning, and then we'll work on that.
Sorry.
New phones. Father, thank you for your love for us. Thank you for calling us, giving us your vision. Thank you for making us yours. And not just us individually. We recognize that we are part of an enormous train of people that stretches way back 2,000 years and will stretch way into the distance. And all of them in every age and every context have had their struggles, their valleys, their obstacles, and we can learn so much from looking at what they've done and how they've made it through. And we look at our own stories, and instead of getting mired in our specific today thing and just focusing in on that one thing, helping us to see that we're part of something so much bigger. And the valleys and the struggles and the obstacles are the middle. They're not the end. And so at the end, we will say, you've never let us down. You have never let us go through the storm, through the struggles. And even with battle scars and whatever, you always remain faithful.
Yes, Lord.
And that's what we celebrate here today. And so as we look to being active in a new way as a group, give us language, give us words, direct us by your Spirit to the right places to know how can we really get involved and what is in our hand to do as we address these various things. So we bless you for that. Father, thanks for the encouragement that you give today. In Jesus' name. Amen. So now